Guys, let me just say good morning. Welcome to New Sharon Assembly of God. I am so grateful that you guys have chose to worship with us this morning. My name is Pastor Mike, for those of you that don't know, and I'd like to just take a moment. My connection card up here is gone. If you have a connection card in front of your seat and you are a first-time guest here, I would encourage you to fill that out and turn it in at the back of the church at the end of service. Two things will happen. It looks like this here. Two things will happen, and I have some to make up on from last week from my absence. One, you will get an email from me tomorrow thanking you for coming to church and asking. I'll send a list of local nonprofits that we will gladly make a donation in your name to that you get to choose from. The second is this shirt that I'm wearing right here. We'd like to give you a shirt. So if you go back and you turn this in at the Connection Center after service, you will get a t-shirt on us. Now, if you'd like another t-shirt, or if you didn't order a t-shirt, they are for sale. They're $14 a piece. You're more than welcome to get additional shirts if you would like to do so. So, this morning we continue on in our parable series, and I have titled today's, what does it say? What do you think we're teaching about this morning? Does anyone know? Humility. Very good. I noticed that everyone has pretty much sat in their same seat that they do every Sunday. I have half a mind to make like a half circle or do something goofy for the next Sunday just to keep things fresh and challenging for each and every one of us. But if you have your Bible this morning, and I hope you or someone around you does that allow you to look on with you, I'd invite you to turn your Bible this morning to Luke chapter 14, verses 1 through 11. And while you're turning there, I'd like to share this brief snippet here. In a speech made in 1863, Abraham Lincoln said, "We have been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We have been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in number and power as no other nation has ever grown. But we have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us, and we have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced, listen, that were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace, too proud to pray to the God that made us." Lincoln here is speaking on humility, humbleness, and pride. In church this morning, it's important that we never forget where our blessings, where our peace, where our power, where our sustenance, whatever you want to put behind it, where it comes from. Because it's not of our own abilities, but rather it's from Him who is able. It is from God that all of this comes from. So our scripture this morning teaches us about humility. I tried to fit it on one screen. I'm sorry if that's too small for you to read. I hope you have a Bible that you can turn on with. Luke chapter 14, verses 7 or 1 through 11. It reads this: "One Sabbath, when he went to dine at the house of a ruler of the Pharisees, they were watching him carefully." Who's him? Jesus, right? "And behold, there was a man before him who had dropsy. And Jesus responded to the lawyers and the Pharisees, saying, 'Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not?' But they remained silent. They had no answer to give. Then he took him," so Jesus took the man who had dropsy, "and healed him and sent him away. And he said to them, 'Which of you,'" and I find this interesting that he uses what he does here, "'which of you having a son or an ox that has fallen into a well on a Sabbath day will not immediately pull him out?'" What a rhetorical question that is. Because we all know that if your son falls in a well, you're not going to say, sorry, it's Sunday. I'll see you on Monday. Good luck. And they could not reply to these things. That was verse 6. Verse 7. Now, he told a parable to those who were invited. Where are they at? They're in the Pharisee's house, right? They're getting ready to have a meal. Now, he told a parable to those who were invited when he noticed how they chose the places of honor, saying to them, when you are invited by someone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in a place of honor, lest someone more distinguished than you be invited by him. And he who invited you both will come and say to you, give your place to this person. And then you will begin with shame to take the lowest place. Verse 10, but when you are invited, go and sit in the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, friend, move up higher. Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray this morning as we get into your word and we hear these words, first, Lord, that it's a challenge. Lord, that you challenge our minds and our hearts to receive this word, to live this word. And Lord Jesus, I pray that every word that comes out of my mouth this morning is from you. They're not of my own opinion, my own doing, but Lord, it's from your kingdom. Father, I pray that you would be with each and every one of us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So first and foremost, when I think about, I was a very, this isn't in my notes, and I don't know if I want to tell, I'm going to tell it. So my grandma, the nicest person in the world, and her name is Betty, and she basically was my mom growing up. I have a mom. I mean, obviously, I'm here. I have a mother. But she lived, you know, clear up by Fort Dodge, and my grandparents right across the road. So my grandma basically became my mother, and the nicest woman in the world, and I love her dearly. She would always say to me, and this is before I knew how to appropriately respond, she would always say to me, you're a good kid. You're a good kid. You know what? How I responded to that? I know. I know. I'm aware. Thank you. Without ever actually saying thank you, I would just say, I know. And one day, I was sitting in my dad's car with my dad. We were leaving. She came out to the road to say something before we left. And she let me know how good of a kid I was. And my dad looks at me. And he's like, you say thank you. You don't say I know. You say thank you. And that was the first time that revelation ever came to me, that you're supposed to say thank you to somebody complimenting on how good of a kid you were. So I had a dose of learning what it is to be humble. Humility. And let me just say, first and foremost, what we read here today, this isn't about thinking less of yourself. This isn't thinking little of yourself, downplaying your gifts. It's not about downplaying your abilities. Let me say it this way. This isn't about demeaning who God created you to be. Do you understand that this morning? God created each and every one of us to be who we are, and if we downplay that, if we demean that, we're actually bringing dishonor to God, okay? So this is not about belittling yourself. It's about understanding who it all comes from. And who does it come from? It comes from God Himself, right? After having just watched Jesus, set the scene here for you, after having just watched Jesus heal a man and sent him away. Now, we don't know how much time. Scripture doesn't give us time. But it suggests that immediately after, because they were there for a meal, right? He went to his house to dine. So we can assume that it didn't take much time. Jesus healed this man and sent him on his way. And immediately following, Jesus watched how those that were invited, how these individuals took their places at the table as dinner was being prepared to be served. Seemingly more interested in the position at the table than the miracle performed before their very eyes. So Jesus, he proceeded to share the parable about humility. What he was addressing, so take this down as a note if you'd like. Here's what Jesus was addressing: self-promotion. Warning those who promoted themselves and their interest would be shamed in the next life. When really we should be more concerned with our place of honor with God than our earthly honor. Who knows that all of your earthly honor, as soon as you die, it's done. Your earthly honor does not go with you to heaven. If you are, is anyone a king in here or a queen? No? Did you know in heaven, Charlie is, did you know that when we get to heaven, the king is just as honored as the homeless? They're just as valuable. So when we die, the honor that we have with us today is gone. Tell me which honor is more important this morning. Honor with God. Honor with God comes through humility, through servanthood, and by living in a way that brings honor to God's name. That honor, that receives the reward of glory that comes from only God. John chapter 5, verse 44, it says, "How can you believe when you receive glory from one another and do not seek the glory that comes from the only God?" So we shouldn't be motivated by the love or praise or the esteem from other people. We shouldn't be slaves to others' opinions. Somebody needs to hear that this morning. Our goal should be only to please God and to fulfill His purpose in our lives. So the question is this morning, is how can we practice humility? There's three things. If you have a pen, you can write this down. There's no guarantee that these will be fun to hear, but these are all biblical. The first one being, we must become less. What does it mean to become less? When we consider what it means to become less, worldly standards versus heavenly standards, isn't it such a deviation from what we've been taught our whole life? What have we been taught and encouraged to do? We've been told to work on ourselves, right? If you can write a self-help book, you'll be a millionaire, because there's people that'll buy those books. I buy the books. I just like to improve, right? I'll buy your book. I'll be the first one if you write it. But we've all been told how to work on ourselves, to develop our abilities, improve, gain more position, and become more. Work for that promotion. Be better. Do better. Be recognized. Get involved in your community. Find positions. It's very, the earthly standard is very us and our ability focused, right? For the musicians in here that are on our worship team, the world would say continue to develop that and go further with it and do more and do more. For those who know how to hold a clipboard, it would be do more, instruct more, gain the promotion, climb higher up the corporate ladder. Where when it comes to humility, when it comes to the Bible teaches us something completely different. And it's this: God's greatest servants are those who seek to exalt Jesus over self. When Jesus came on the scene, so we all know who John the Baptist is, right? When Jesus came on the scene, John the Baptist, he faded into the background, letting Jesus alone be magnified. Has anybody seen a power struggle at like a company has anyone seen a power struggle where you have two people butting heads trying to figure out what path we're going to go, who's going to maintain power? Did John do that? What John did is he faded into the background. He didn't fight for his position or power. John was very pivotal in preparing for Jesus to come and take place. But John knew that being least in God's kingdom is what makes one great. And we have evidence of that from John chapter 3, verse 30. It says this. This is John the Baptist saying, "He must increase, but I must decrease." Let that be all of our opinions here today, because we must become less to allow Christ to become more in and through us. Matthew chapter 23, verses 11 and 12, this is the same parable. "The greatest among you shall be servant. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted." Let us remind ourselves to be humble. Let us remind ourselves to show humility, to understand God's authority and importance to be displayed in our lives, knowing that He Himself will exalt us in eternity. Not about what I can do now to advance myself, to grow myself, to gain more respect amongst my peers. It's about bringing honor to God's power in your life. It's to serve others without agenda. So when we're talking about our vision statement for our church, what is it, by the way? Engaging our community for Jesus. If we approach engaging our community for Jesus with an agenda that's not doing so with humility, and it's not doing so with bringing honor to God's name, when in reality, when we become less, we serve others without agenda. We serve those who cannot pay us back. If you are helping somebody, you give them $5 to get food at McDonald's and you say, "Hey, I've got this as a note. You owe me this on payday." Who are you doing it for? You doing it for yourself or you doing it for the Lord? Because I'll tell you now, it's not for the Lord. It's for yourself. The second thing that we do is to value others above yourself. Philippians 2:3, it says, "Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves." So selfish ambition and vain conceit are not compatible with humility. They cannot. Water and oil don't mix, right? Vain conceit and selfish ambition do not mix with humility, but rather are born from pride. To say it another way, it's thinking of your own desires and your interest and putting those first. Those can't exist with humbleness. Those can't exist with humility. If we don't have humility, but rather we have pride, it causes us to put our needs, our feelings, above the needs of everyone around us. It causes us to only focus on ourselves. Does the Bible tell us to focus on ourselves? Rather, the plan of God is that we focus on others, that we lift others up. And if we focus on ourselves, we end up missing God's wonderful plan for our lives. Selfishness makes us short-sighted. You can only see what's in front of you. We don't see the big picture. We miss God's eternal purpose for our lives when we do not approach with humility. And listen, if the devil can divide us, so if we have pride in our church, if we don't have humility, if we don't view others as more valuable than ourselves, if the devil can divide us, he can bring strife and every evil work into our midst. As believers, we should be one in spirit and of purpose. Christian love will motivate us to act humbly toward others and value them above ourselves. We need to have the same attitude as Christ Jesus. What is that attitude? Let's talk about that for a minute. Jesus Christ humbled himself to take upon himself the appearance of man, to die upon the cross for us. What did he leave? Heaven. He left his throne of honor in heaven to come down, to take on the appearance of man, to die for our sins. You want to talk about a place of humility. What are we willing to give up to walk in humility so others will know the name of Jesus Christ? Ephesians 4, 1 through 3, this is Paul. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The end of verse 2 says, bearing with one another. What does that mean, bearing with one another? Who in here doesn't have a fault? I don't see any hands. Who here has a fault? Don't be too prideful to raise your hand. Everybody in here has a fault. What this means, we all have faults, right? This means making room for one another's faults. Knowing that we all have faults, we still maintain our humility even when others' faults are faults that we ourselves don't have. That's a new concept, isn't it? Shouldn't everybody just be like me? Now, I'm not asking me directly, but I think too often we compare people to how Tom Jacobs says it the best. We judge others by their actions. We judge ourselves by our intentions. Right? So the story goes, Tom Jacobs, when he shared this story with us, had somebody who was always, he had a staff member that was always late to work. Being bitter about it, we can say, so-and-so is always late. Why don't they just set the alarm clock 5 minutes earlier, get here on time instead of 5 minutes late? When I wake up, I make sure it's based off of action and intention. But in reality, we have no idea what's happening in the background of the person that we're judging by action. What if we were to judge them by their intentions? Do you think they intend to be late to work? I mean, maybe they just don't care, right? But generally, somebody who does good at work but is habitually late to work probably doesn't have the intention on being late to work, right? And so do we judge others by their actions or by their intentions? So as Christ followers, we must live in humility towards others, giving them more honor than we receive ourselves. This follows the example that Christ Jesus himself set for us. The third thing we can do to practice humility is to clothe yourself in humility. The Christian life involves inner transformation. When you accept Jesus, when you ask Jesus to come into your life, what happens? You're made new, right? You are a new creation. In that new creation comes a transformation of who you are, and you start to bear who Jesus is in your life. By the Holy Spirit's power, we are changed from our own sinful nature into the image of Christ Jesus himself. Jesus demonstrated, I've already said this, but I've said it another way here. Jesus demonstrated the greatest act of humility by emptying himself of glory to become a human. True humility means seeing ourselves as God sees us. And somebody needs to hear this morning as well. How does God see you? Worth everything that He has to offer. Worthy of His Son Jesus being sent to die. So in hopes, not in guarantee because we have free will, but in hopes that you would be reconciled and step into a relationship with Him. God sees you worth more than what you see yourself. True humility means seeing ourselves with all the worth and the worthiness that God Himself ascribes to us. But no more valuable than anybody else. He didn't just go to the cross for me. He didn't just go to the cross for you. He went to the cross so there would be no separation from God for all humankind. God created man in His image. He didn't create Mike in His image. All mankind. That's why He sent Jesus, so we could be reconciled to Him. When we submit to God and we give Him the first place in our lives, meaning He is our priority, and we live under His supreme authority, meaning we live from what the Bible... And by the way, speaking of Bible, there's this paper back here on the back table through those double doors there. This is our 5-day Bible reading plan that we're going through as a church. It is going to get us through the Bible in 52 weeks, and we are now starting week 34 as of tomorrow morning. And it's really easy to jump in right where we're at because it has it listed day by day, week by week. And if you're not doing the Bible reading plan or you don't have a plan, I would encourage you to jump in with where we're at as a church. Those are back on the table in the back. But anyways, when we live under His supreme authority, it's living by His word, right? Did you know that your opinions don't matter? If your opinion does not match with the word of God, what should you do? Change your opinion. Period. It doesn't matter what you think. If it's against what the word of God says, you're wrong. That might be a really hard pill for some of us to swallow. You're wrong. God's word is right. So if your opinion doesn't match up with what the word of God says, we change our opinion and we submit to the supreme authority of God's word in our life. And also, when we submit to God, we are willing to serve others. We are willing to serve and we are willing to practice sincere humility. Valuing others above ourselves, clothing ourselves in humility and becoming less. Romans 12:3 says this, "For by the grace given to me," this is Paul, "for by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned." I may be the pastor of this church. Let me tell you, every Sunday, I ask God, why me? I'm not qualified. I don't belong up here. Somebody else could do a better job than I do. We need to have the approach of recognizing that it all comes from God the Father and not of my own abilities. So we have to measure ourselves. And how do we... For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, you ought not to think of himself, you ought not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. Who sets up that measure? Who determines how much we ought to think of ourselves? God the Father does. Paul is telling them to use caution when thinking of self. Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to. Don't think of yourself worthy of more honor than you deserve. Right? We are all valuable to God. Not one more than the other. We are dependent on God for our worth, right? We understand that. We are dependent on God for our purpose, for our productivity. We can accomplish nothing of lasting value, meaning eternal impact, without whose help? Without God's help. It's unattainable. We cannot do it. Each and every one of us must remind ourselves that we can do nothing apart from God. Let us not be the people that Abraham Lincoln was describing. Do not let our hearts be deceived that any of what we do or accomplish, anything that we put our mind to, that it's through us and our ability. Whether it be personal, something that we achieve personally, or it's something that we do within our church, within our community, whether it be at the school or our job, it is not produced by us, but it's by God's grace that it is produced. It is all through Jesus, and it is all by God's grace that He is growing us. Praise God that we're growing, right? We're growing spiritually, and I'll attribute some of that to our five-day Bible reading plan that we're going through. There's testimony of people who have maybe read the Bible but haven't read the whole Bible that are now reading the whole Bible for the first time in their life. What happens? When we started this, I shared all the data points. But if you are in the Bible at a minimum of four times a week, you have like a 208%... I should have looked it up. It's a 208% increase in like basically how your life changes, how you live, how you start to think, because you are instilling God's Word into your heart and into your mind. So praise God that He's growing us. It is by His grace that He develops us, right? Through discipleship, through being in Sunday school, through our Saturday night bonfires, in helping us to reach outside of these walls. I've had somebody tell me that this is the first time that we have focused so outwardly and especially towards the school in a long time. My question is what is the purpose of the church if we're not willing to reach outside of these walls? If we're not here to touch lives outside of these walls, what are we? We're a country club. And by the way, if you play Saturday mornings, we're out golf course 6:30 every morning, literally at the country club. You, I can't even come back from that. Just join us, you'll understand. We, me, listen, we are not more valuable than the town drunk. We are not more valuable than the homeless people. We are not more valuable than those that are abused. We are not more valuable than those that have been forgotten. Rather, we are just as valuable as they are. Not they are just as valuable as us. No, because God, He pays special attention to who? To the widow and to the orphan. We are just as valuable as they are. We must keep our perspective in check. We must check constantly to see where our hearts are, especially as we start to reach out into the community through the many various avenues that we're starting to reach out. Lord, I pray that we become less. We're not prideful. We become. We value others higher than we value ourselves. And all of us here at New Sharon Assembly of God would be clothed in humility so we can effectively reach the lost and needy of New Sharon. May we see God's kingdom grow exponentially as we continue to carry out our vision, which is engaging our community for who? You mean to tell me it's not for New Sharon Assembly of God? Who's it for? Jesus. Stacy, if you would make your way up here. So there's three things that we need to do. I'll put it back on the screen so you have it. We have to become less. We have to value others above ourselves. And we have to clothe ourselves in humility. So I would just ask you this morning, if you would, close your eyes, bow your heads. I want you just to listen to my voice, not pay attention to what the band's doing or what somebody behind you or beside you is fidgeting with. I want you just to focus on my voice and my voice alone. And you need to hear this. Having a relationship with Jesus and allowing Him to do what He does, which is change our hearts to create in us a new image, which is Him, this is where we start. Only He can truly change us. It doesn't matter how hard we work, how determined we are to do this and to do that in our life. It is only Christ Jesus that can change us. And it's only Christ Jesus that can help us have the humility that it takes to impact the kingdom of God. Without it, we are lost. Without it, we are hopeless. Without it, we are nothing. Jesus is the only way to the Father. It's not how good you are. It's not how nice you are. It's not how often you do something kind for somebody. It's not the nice things that you say. Rather, it's only through a relationship with Jesus that we gain eternal life, that we are reconciled to God the Father. In fact, the Bible tells us if you confess with your mouth, that means to talk, that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. It doesn't say, then if you are baptized and you speak in tongues and you sell everything and give to the poor and needy. No, it says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. So this morning, no one's going to make you respond. I'm not going to make you raise your hand. I don't know where your heart is. I don't know what your relationship with the Lord looks like. Whether this is in a new way or this is in a fresh way, you're recommitting yourself. There's one person in here who wants you to respond more than anybody else, and that's God. He wants you to welcome Him into your life. He in turn wants to welcome you into His presence. So this morning, if you don't have a relationship with the Lord, or you need to restart, rebuild, just refresh your relationship with the Lord, would you please, with eyes bowed, head closed, would you just please shoot your hand up? Let me see it, and you can put it back down. Amen. Anybody else? Church, we're going to say a prayer together. And let me just stress that this prayer has nothing to do with the relationship with Jesus. This is just helping that person confess with their mouth that they believe Jesus is Lord. We can say the words and not mean it, and it has zero impact. It's when we believe that it does. So this morning, for those of you who raised your hand, this is on you to believe in your heart. This is a serious moment. So church, let's join in prayer together. Repeat after me. Dear Jesus, I accept the work of the cross. I believe that You died and rose again. I confess with my mouth that You are Lord. I ask that You would change me, that You would make me new, make me into Your image. And from this day forward, I dedicate my life to You. In Jesus' name, Amen. I want you to know that two individuals raised their hand today, and there is now a party in heaven. And listen, for those who have raised their hand, it's not just to leave here and everything changes. Satan wants to bring you back into his hold. So what do we need to do? We need to start focusing on God. We need to get into our Bibles. We need to start praying. And just saying, God, more of you, more of you. May I decrease and you increase in my life. Every decision that you make from here on forward matters. So as we close today, church, you know that I don't like not having altar calls. There's just something about approaching the altar, stepping out and saying, Lord, I need you. That is just so powerful. It has been in my life anyways. So I want to open the altars today. I want to open the altars for personal prayer, but I also want to open the altars for a response from you today. Because here's what God's asking us to do. He's asking us to address and to check our hearts. He wants us to ask the question of ourselves, am I humble? Do I exalt Jesus over myself and my abilities? Or do I exalt myself over Jesus? Do I view everyone as valuable? Do I view them as valuable as I view myself? Or do I think I carry a little bit more importance than so-and-so? Ask yourself the question, at what seat of the table do I sit at? Do I find myself favoring the seat of honor because I think I deserve it? I don't know where all of you are at. Frankly, it's none of my business. It's between you and the Lord. But here's what we must do. We must seek and ask God for forgiveness. We must seek and ask God that He would help humble ourselves, that we would start to view with humility the way He sees it. Allow Him to change our hearts and have His heart. And at the end of the day, the most important thing is those that exalt themselves will be humbled, and those that humble themselves will be exalted. So this morning as we close in worship, whether you stay in your seat and you spend time in prayer, let me just tell you, there's something about these altars that are just so powerful. I would encourage you to come up, pray. There is no judgment here. We're not going to assume you're the least humble person in the building. Rather, we're probably going to think you are the most humble person in the building because you realize that more of God is better than more of you. Amen. Amen.
Oh, there's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing. Nothing is better than